Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
A message titled Wonderful Works. This verse, I happened as I was turning through the Bible a few days ago, I saw this verse, and I had looked at some other verses with it and thought, you know, this would be really good, and I thought, you know, this verse alone deserves to be its own message, because it says so much, it actually points to so many other scriptures in the Bible, and it basically just gives us a mandate. And it's all inclusive. This is not even a steps in it. It gives us the whole thing. And we'll go ahead and get into it. Proverbs 16, verse 3. If you're able, let's physically tonight stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight again for your word. Father, hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that your Spirit's power, its presence, and you will speak to hearts like only you can. God, may you be glorified, magnified, honored, lifted up, exalted, Father, above all. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, Savior, and King. Amen. You may be seated. Not a long verse. There's two parts to it that I want to share. There's only two principles tonight. And that first part of verse 16 again, commit your activities to the Lord. We'll stop there. First thing that I want to share with you tonight is this. Everything we do should be committed to the Lord. You hear that? But it's the principle that's got to be reiterated, honestly, daily. Every morning we wake up, you hear me say again, over and over and over, week in and week out, you don't wake up and decide to choose you this day whom you will serve one time, and then after that it's going to be the default. You automatically do it. No, it's an everyday choice. Every day your family has to be committed to Christ. Every day your wife, your husband, your children, your job, your finances. It's every day. Because is there anybody in this building right now, in this room, that would say, you know what? I don't ever have to say, you know what, I'm so frustrated in this job. I'm so frustrated in this marriage. I'm so frustrated in my relationships that you just wake up and no matter what, it's always going to be your default just to do the right thing. If you think that's you, raise your hand. Or are there many times when you have to recommit to saying, no, I know what I want to do and it's not the right thing and I'm going to do the right thing? That's actually more often than not, isn't it? How many of you now are reliant on other people to accomplish what you're supposed to be accomplishing? Many of us. How many times do people fail you? And you're either late or you're not able to do what you were able or could have been able to do because someone else failed at what they were supposed to do. And therefore, it caused you to be in a mess because of their failures. That's actually more now. And hey, go to a fast food restaurant. I've never been more ashamed for restaurant owners than I am now. If I was a restaurant owner, I would probably come completely unglued at the seams. I'd go into these restaurants. It's not like when I was young. They would fire every single one of them in every fast food restaurant in our town. Plain and simple. And they'd have a full staff by 3 o'clock if you did that in the morning. Because when I was young, you actually worked. And if you didn't work, they stuck you out so fast, it left your head spinning. But again, there were droves of people behind you ready to work. Now what scares that, you know, that's fine because you know what I can do? I can do what happened in North Carolina. There was a Burger King in North Carolina. I was headed back from seeing John. And I stopped at Burger King. It was a fiasco. I didn't thank the Lord, look in my bag until I got down the interstate. When I opened the bag, I threw the whole thing out. God didn't let me look in that bag because I probably would still be in North Carolina because I would have done something that I should not have done. I never drive out of a restaurant without looking inside my bag. That was the one time that I can ever remember not doing it. I think they went in the garbage can and got the food out after I'd waited about 20 minutes. We're at a different place in culture. It's not the America that I grew up in. I'm sorry, it isn't. It's not the America you grew up in. That actually, sadly, departed a long time ago. As hard as it is for me to come to terms with, the America we knew has left the building. And the America that is replacing it is America that I don't know a lot about. I'll be honest with you, it's America that I am not very comfortable with. It's not one that I want or have any relationship with. This is not the God-loving, God-fearing country that we're seeing on the external. When you know what I'm talking about, there's us, there's pockets of people that love this country, love what it represents, still understand what it represents, and we will passionately proclaim that truth. But what our nation's embracing is not what we know this country as. And that's okay, because again, what did I say this morning? God is still sovereign. He's still in control. He's still on the throne. So that's nothing that should scare us, that should frighten us, that should worry us. No, we have nothing to fear. But that first thing tonight, everything we do should be committed to the Lord. Though they're not doing it at restaurants, though they're not, they believe they should be paid for showing up. Scary part of this is that there are nurses that should not be working. And I know I would hear Kim shout amen if it were the proper opportunity for her to do that. But because they need them, they are remaining employed. And that's scary. We're going to see more of that. You're going to get more expensive care with a worse quality care. And it's not the America that we know. Anybody that voted for Joe Biden, would you like to hear a mean tweet about now? Because I know I would. Yeah. Oh, yes, we'll all be broke and have not a tenth of what people need in food and the gas to get back and forth to work. But guess what? You're not going to have to hear a mean tweet anymore. Oh, isn't that awesome? No. Sure would be nice to hear one right now. A whole lot's changed in this country in the last 12 months. But you know, we're funding overseas abortions. If that's encouraging to anybody who voted for that. Thankfully, in this company right now, and I don't care what anybody online thinks about what I say, I really don't, because I care about what God cares about. And again, God cares about life. He cares about truth. Someone says, well, you shouldn't talk about politics. I'm sorry, but if you think that a pastor can step around politics, you have another thing coming, because politics and religion are supposed to be meshed together. That should affect the way that we act when we walk into a voting booth. But yet years ago, there was a farce given to churches that, well, if you talk about politics, we'll take your tax-exempt status away. You can't, Mr. Johnson. Sorry. You can't. Not going to fall for it. All that was done to do is to silence truth. He had an issue because what was happening is Judeo-Christian values and truth was becoming a formidable force, and it was swaying elections. So what his whole entire intent and purpose was, if we shut down conservative Christian thought, it will not be able to affect elections to the level that it has been. And it was very effective in many cases. Has been. If we scare them enough and threaten them enough with believing they'll lose their tax-exempt status, we can at least help soften, if not stop, the damage. Well, I'm like my mother. You're not going to quiet me up. When you try to get my mom to be quiet, I'm just going to be honest, she gets louder until she said what she needs to say. Now, I don't want to use this as a place where I defend a political cause and it trumps the cause of Christ. God forbid. But what I'm saying tonight is that our nation's abandoned a lot of incredible things biblically that God had used the former president for. Do I stand here and believe that his moral stance I am in line with? Absolutely not. Don't you dare get that confused. But he surrounded himself with godly people that influenced him and helped him secure some spiritual freedoms and spiritual things in this country that not one commander-in-chief had any backbone to do, one of them being moving the embassy in Israel to where? Jerusalem, thank you. Not one of them that professed to be a solid, sold-out follower of Christ had the backbone to move the embassy, stating in doing so that that is the capital of Israel. Scared to death that something would happen. Well, praise God, we had a man that had enough backbone. And whether you believe the way he acted or lived, he at least in his actions showed he stood with God's people. To God be the glory. Yes, does he have a control issue? Yeah. I wish they'd pull his phone away, but do you know what? Again, I'm watching the man who's in there now fundamentally transform this nation from everything that we hold dear. And it makes me sick. What I thank God for tonight, though, is that the wonderful works of God allow me to, even in spite of that, commit my all to him. Because it should be, and he deserves it. Whatever we do in word or deed, do it all the glory of God. The Bible says that. I believe it, and that's the truth, period. Plain and simple. That's, at the end of the day, what matters. It's truth. It's not relative. There'll never be anybody in government that you can agree with everything on, but my whole stance from day one has been a man that's willing to stand up for life. Because that is the fundamental truth, biblically, that we will stand accountable for, is what mattered to God is what matters to us. What is that? The protection of the unborn. To me, is an issue that is not up for debate, ever. We have a lot of kids at home. Do you realize that that other party would, in theory, be what we should stand for in my family? Why? Because of the very large leaning on social programs, which for people that have the income that my wife and I have, we qualify big time. It's not about what I think it's going to do for my wallet. It's about what it's going to do for what my God holds dear. And again, it starts with life. And my friends, it ends with life. What God holds dear is life. So if you have an issue with human life and the sanctity of life, I will listen no farther to your platform. If you don't like the fact that I love life, life's important to God, and life is what matters to him, the wonderful works of God manifesting itself even in the formation of a human being, bar none, first and foremost, If you don't have an issue with protecting and don't have any desire to protect life at its most basic of forms, we have nothing more to talk about. I don't care what he says he'll do for me or she'll do for me. I don't care what they say they will do for my financial status. I don't care. I have no biblical mandate to listen to anything further. Why? Because I'll stand accountable one day for what was most important to the Lord, and that is life. And friends, it'll never change. Life will always be the fundamental element spiritually that God will always care for life. Everything else is going up in smoke, dust in the wind. Life is the only thing that transcends time. And then that second part of verse 3, commit your activities to the Lord, and what? Your plans will be achieved. Some versions say your plans will succeed. And then the second thing I want to share with you tonight, and that'll be at the when everything is committed to the Lord, our thoughts will be guided by him. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not in your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Really good picture of this right here. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved. What that means is you put God in numero uno as number one. He will place your steps. Your plans will succeed. You will achieve what you desire. Commit it all to the Lord. He will guide you every step of the way. Voting booths, your home, your marriage, your children, your entire path from birth to death will be guided supremely by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with his sovereign hands, if you will allow him the privilege of doing that. There's not a part of, unless it has to do with us running from his plan and sin, that God will remove his hand from and say, hey, take the wheel, coach. There'll be no part that God says that to. If we allow him full dominion, meaning full reign over our lives. It's a total dominion part that's hard. What does that mean? He has full domain, dominion over us, complete control. That's where we struggle. Well, Lord, if I get serious about all of it, I have to stop X. I have to stop dabbling in. I really need to stop doing. That's where we get issues, is when what we want to do is in conflict with what God calls us to. It's when we fail to see the wonderful works because we want to work wonders in our lives. We want to compromise. We want to fly false flags in our lives of all the things the enemy desires for us. He wants us to fly the flags of compromise. Why? Because, well, maybe my mother or father voted that way, and that's why I do it. Oh, if your mother or father are going to hell, you going with them? I'd say that about my own parents. Would I be foolish enough to follow my family lineage straight to hell because that's what they decided to do? What happens when you came to the knowledge of truth? Would you be foolish enough to throw or flush all of that away? Oh, why? Because we have a heritage to uphold. How foolish could we be? But yet every day it happens. People deceived under the guise of religion. Well, my mama was always angry. My father was always angry and bitter, and I'll always be that way, you know? God loved them and they loved me too. I would challenge you to do an introspective inventory of your heart. Because Matthew chapter 7 is quite clear about the heart's condition in every respect. Don't believe because mother or father, you believe as you sit back and reflect on their life, and then you start to As the Bible says, by their fruit, you begin to look at the fruit, and then you start to recognize, actually, if I'm honest with myself, there wasn't fruit. Don't dare convince yourself that the standard of anybody else should be your standard. I would encourage and challenge you to look to the standard bearer, and that's Jesus Christ. That is truth. Not what mom or dad say, I'm sorry. I got great parents, but I've come to truth on my own account, seeking out God's word, God's truth, His voice. Yes, my parents set a stellar example, but I still sought out the truth and the peace of God based on the Spirit of God's speaking, moving in my heart and my life. As a matter of fact, my faith in Christ is completely independent of my parents. It was long after I had left their home. Yes, they influenced it greatly, but at the same time, it was independent. It was separate from my parents. And I think that's what's important for us. If you had a godly lineage and heritage, praise the Lord for it. But I hope you step back and you do an inspection of those who were placed up in front of you, and you honestly assess, what do I want to model? Did my mother or father model that steadfast commitment to Christ, that steadfast demonstration of sold out? And if not, what do you want to be? Do you want to be nothing but a clone or a mirror of them, or do you want God to beautifully mold and form you into what it is that He desires for you to be, so that you don't deceive yourself into living a life that ultimately amounts to nothing? I know I don't. I don't have time. I don't have time to play games with anybody. I don't have time to play Jesus with you. Because I could walk out of here and walk into a corporate job with one of my suits on and make triple. Just like that. I don't have time to play games, nor do you. So that's why we invest in what is real, what's tangible, and what's certain. And that's why I'm here. And I'm here because I don't have time to play games. And that's why what is real is what I want to and will invest my life in, my passion, my heart, and my soul. Are you all in? What do you mean, Brother Jonathan? When everything is committed to the Lord, our thoughts are guided by Him. See, everything should be committed to the Lord, because we see that. Commit your activities to the Lord. That is the challenge. And then the promise. And your plans will be achieved. Are your plans not being achieved tonight? Then I would ask you to step back and question, have you truly committed your activities, your plans to the Lord? Because if you say, yes, I know for certain I have, and it is not being achieved, then either God's a liar or you are misguided. Amen? I can assure you that God's not a liar. So that leaves one thing. You are misguided. So what would I challenge you to do then? Step back and make sure truly are your activities, are your plans committed to the Lord? Because we deceive ourselves quite frequently. Love what Miss Linda said a number of months ago. Prayer request was that we might not be deceived. The very statement coming out of her mouth infers that she recognizes that even herself could become deceived. Anybody in here agree with ourselves? All of us. We're actually very good at deceiving ourselves, are we not? So that statement alone was very revealing to all of me, to myself, and to us as humans. Yes, we have to watch that. No matter how spiritually mature, when you're hearing that from be like hearing it from my mother, someone who I spiritually look up to and I trust, deeply and care for deeply and recognize as a spiritual saint senior, much my spiritual senior, when they would speak that, wow, how much more do I need to say to myself, Lord, let me not be deceived. So that's how easy this can happen in committing our activities to the Lord when we look at it and we go, well, this is what I've been wanting to do, and this is where I've wanted my life plan to be, and this is where it's at, and then it's not working though. My plans aren't being achieved. What's the issue? Have you deceived yourself? It's a very real question that has a very real answer. One of the hard parts sometimes is we don't like what we have to face. How many people at times in your life can mess up Andrew here moving? How many of you at times have had to get honest with yourself about what you see when you've done an introspective look, and I've talked about it? Anybody done that, and when you did, you didn't like what you saw? You know what's really difficult sometimes? Is when I listen to a pastor's message and I never hear that challenge to his flock. I think it's very important for us frequently to do that introspective look, that inside laying it bare. God, what am I doing? Where am I at? Where's my heart? Where's my passions? Where's my motivations? God, where are my treasures? Lord, you discern the very motivations of my heart. Where are they in line with what you want and desire for me? It was really neat because it might have been when we were doing the blood drawing last week, and the last person I did, I didn't hit the vein because he had real tiny veins, and it was wild because one of the girls said to me, you know, you're not doing this like us, you know, you're not doing this, you don't have as much pressure on you. And she said that very kindly. She was just saying, you know, it's not a big deal because, you know, we've got this pressure on us because we're going to go, this is going to be our careers, and we've just got all this stress and at stake. And I just sat down. I was like, wow, that's telling. It's a good thing because I'm not doing it for a career. I don't have that level of pressure in a sense, even though there's a lot of pressure from myself. Yeah. I don't halfway do that many things in life, or at least don't intend to. But it helped me once again reiterate why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because God has opened this door and he's placed me to do it. What would be easy to have my days back to go and spend time with people and do what I love to do all day? That's what I'd like to do. I'm not going to lie. I'd love to wake up tomorrow morning and be able to take an easy morning, because Mondays especially are really hard for me physically. I am not going to lie. But I'm committed to do what God wants me to do right now. I know God's using this in a mighty way. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these activities have been committed to the Lord, and that the plans that God has in store for this will be achieved if I stand firm, if I steadfastly stay focused on what God has placed me to be focused on right now. Are you there? If it all isn't committed to him, why not? I can't slow things down as much as I want to. Aaron and I laugh week in and week out about how fast Sundays go by. We're sitting there looking at the table, and I'm like, dude, here's another one. It's gone. It's just gone, and it's gone. And you know what? I'm going to blink, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. Everybody's going to be foul in class tomorrow. I know that. I'm going to be on cloud, and I'm going to make them sick. I'm going to be so happy in the morning that I'm just going to make people sick. And I'm going to purposely continue to just go in there and make them sick. I'm not joking. And I'm going to say to the girl tomorrow that cannot stand it, I'll walk down the hall and I'll make sure that she's a few steps in front, and I'm going to tell her tomorrow, we only have 312 days left. And she gets really mad. She gets mad as a hornet. Why? Because God's put me there to bring a little bit of joy and a little bit of sunshine, even in the aggravation of someone who is about to choke me. Because I told them, young lady, at your age, it seems like forever, but with me, I'm already getting my stuff ironed for graduation, because 313 days, like, for me, is just like 2 months. It's nothing. Well, it's not for me. You got a lot of years to get there, and you will. But I get to relish this time now where you loathe it. The wonderful works of God. What is the picture of that in your life tonight? Is everything committed to the Lord? If it's not, you have the rest of the night when you go home and lay down to say, God, this is not, and it should be. We're kind of half and half in here tonight with people who have, if you look at it from the worldly perspective, some of you are on borrowed time. And I say that with all respect. The rest of us are fast approaching our best by date, meaning that time that we're going to be or should expire. And anything after that, my grandfather said, son, is a gift. You younger ones, you might think you have the time, but you don't know. I've studied so many medical conditions. It would scare you, the things that can happen in the human body. Frightening. We are nothing more than time bombs. Sorry, but it's true. Every single one of us. Meaning we have a date, an expiration date inside of us that God knows it's been ordained before the foundations of the world. It can happen young or old. We don't know. It's like that old game with the little fishes. John used to love playing. It had a little fish and things. And you'd just hold above all these little fish, and this thing would turn around. And every once in a while, up, one would pop up real quick. And you had to try to be there to pop your little fishing pole in its mouth and then pull one out. I forget what the name of that is. Let's go fishing. That's what I'm talking about. Every single day, Jesus is throwing out his line to somebody. And one day, it's going to be our day to bite. We can live every day declaring the wonderful works of God. We can live every single day committed to the Lord. We can live every day watching our plans succeed. Or we can squander it and flush it all away. I could sit around more concerned about hurrying up and getting done. Since I'm not going to do this for a living, I just want to get this over and miss the entire ministry. I could be introverted. I could do nothing more than just study and not deal with the foolery of these young people. We had a chance to move our seats a few weeks ago. I could have gone to a corner and kind of isolated myself and let them do their thing, and I'll focus on my thing. And in doing so, pass up an incredible ministry opportunity that I potentially will never have again. The blessing of that, seeing the rejoicing in those mountaintops and watching how God is so beautifully, divinely orchestrating a puzzle right now that I could not fathom. When the teacher's fiance came in on Wednesday last week, was our last day of the week, I heard her make a statement. This is the pastor that I told you about. You know what that means? Somebody's being affected. Hence my statement. I could sit back in my little cubicle and not have ever been the pastor, just been the 47-year-old man that's coming to nursing school, and I could have told him some whatever story I wanted to tell him. I got laid off from the pencil mill, you know. But yet, what I've done in the process is passed up the wonderful works of God that God desires to do in all of us. I know every single day on that mail route, he'll share with me week in and week out how God's used him to share hope with somebody, to minister to somebody, whether it's finding a dead body, you know, knowing someone's in there gone, or whether it's that person that at that moment of weakness, a struggle or battle, each of y'all share stories in your daily walk. That's the wonderful works of God that he is allowing you to see that is directly a result of your obedience, not disobedience. We never get to take part in the blessing of the wonderful works of God when we are in the midst of disobedience. Never. So tonight, as we leave, as I close in prayer, and you lay in bed, I want you to ask yourself this question. Is everything committed to you, Lord? Am I truly all in? God, are you guiding my steps? And then ask yourself, if not, why not? I can't put your desire to follow him, but if God lays that on your heart and you want a transformation to occur in your life, it will happen when your heart beats with the heart of Christ, the passion of Christ. When the things that give him joy give you joy, the things that break his heart break your heart. And you'll understand then when you walk into a voting booth why you can vote singularly on the issue of life itself. People say, Brother Jonathan, how can you vote singularly on an issue like that? I ask you again to ask yourself the question, what does God care about more than anything? Life. Life. Wish I had the whole story tonight. I'd share it with you. There was a man that was supposed to be aborted. Told his mom numbers and that over and over and over again needed to be aborted. He wasn't going to live a long time, all this stuff. He is a man that we know as Tim Tebow. They urged his parents, his mother, to abort him multiple times. Aren't you glad she didn't? You see, God's bigger than man's wisdom, isn't he? And that's why when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and we lean not in our own understanding, in all of our ways we acknowledge him, he directs our paths. He directs it perfectly. He directs it lovingly. He directs it patiently. He directs it faithfully. And all we have to do is sit back and just let him do what he does. That's all we have to do. But when we try to do what only he can and should do, oh, we make a big mess. Oh, a big one. Epic disasters. Where the order of the day is pain. Oh, wonderful, wonderful pain. How about tonight saying, God, I'm done with that. I want to experience the wonderful works. That happens tonight when you go from the self-yielded obedience to self to yield in obedience to Him. And that's when you go from the wonderful mess to the wonderful works. Let's pray. Father, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.